From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content, plus add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here with another classic episode from our archives. This one has to do with the definitions of terrorism and why it's become such a politically loaded term. Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. When the news of another mass murder in the United States breaks, people are forced to stumble their way through a series of inescapable emotions. The psychological stages, much like the well-known stages of grief, go something like this: shock, revulsion, fear, curiosity, anxiety, anger, numbness, and finally depression, and perhaps acceptance. Somewhere along that arc, too, comes the inevitable question: was it terrorism? The question is way more easily asked than answered. That's partially because the legal definition of the word terrorism is as murky as the motivations of the people who commit these drastic crimes. We talked with Dr. Jane Kramer, a professor of political science at the University of Oregon. She told us, every terrorism textbook and every terrorism class begins with the definition problem. Most people have to be satisfied with no definition. The Merriam-Websterizing of the term terrorism has become so tricky, in fact, so fraught with politics and legal pitfalls, that even after decades of trying, the United Nations can't come up with an agreement on what constitutes terrorism or what a terrorist is. That's not all that surprising, maybe, considering that what one group might call a cowardly and despicable act, another might term a patriotic or even holy duty. At least within the borders of the United States, the legal definition seems a little less troublesome. Several federal laws list some variation of the terms, but the U.S. Code of Federal Regulations defines terrorism as the unlawful use of force and violence against persons or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof, in furtherance of political or social objectives. Still, even among Americans, it's not that easy. When an avowed white supremacist killed 9 black members of a church in Charleston, South Carolina on June 17th of 2015, it was immediately considered by most as a hate crime and a terroristic act. But then FBI Director James Comey wouldn't call it terrorism. In a press conference 3 days after the shooting, he said, "Terrorism is violence done or threatened in order to try to influence a public body or citizen, so it's more of a political act. Again, based on what I know, I don't see it as a political act." The unwillingness to immediately flag people like this perpetrator as terrorists, or even the Las Vegas shooter who killed 58 and wounded another 500-plus on October 1st of 2017, can rankle those who see the issue often falling along racial and religious lines. For example, when a native of Uzbekistan killed 8 people in New York City on October 31st, 2017, by driving a rented truck into pedestrians and cyclists, the FBI slapped federal terrorism charges on him in less than 2 days. Officially tagging acts like this as terrorism, or not, requires thought toward the legal and moral implications. For example, no terrorism charges were filed against Army Major Nidal Hassan, who killed 13 people at Fort Hood, Texas in 2009, even though Hassan told investigators that he shot the soldiers because they were, quote, going against the Islamic Empire, according to the New York Times. The reasoning? The Army could more easily and swiftly try him on charges of murder and attempted murder without the hassle of proving he was a terrorist. Hassan is now in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, awaiting execution after being convicted of 13 counts of murder and 32 counts of attempted murder. Without designated Hassan a terrorist, though, his victims can't get combat-related benefits or receive Purple Hearts because the attack was considered workplace violence and not combat. The labeling or specific not labeling of terrorists isn't a particularly new phenomenon. More than 30 years ago, then-President Ronald Reagan pushed a foreign policy that included financial backing for a group of so-called freedom fighters in Nicaragua, the Contras. Some accused the United States of state-backed terrorism. Many other presidents and heads of state all over the world have taken similar steps in the name of national interest. The objection to calling someone a terrorist lies largely within the word itself, terrorism. Dr. Kramer said, "It's a loaded term. It's meant to make somebody evil. When everybody, after this last incident, notices that Trump wouldn't use terrorism after Charlottesville, where a white supremacist killed counter-protester Heather Heyer on August 12th of 2017, and immediately uses it after New York, it was like, wow, we only use it for Muslim or dark-skinned people. That's why this is coming up all the time. It's loaded." It's probably not surprising that many politicians, not just the president, use the concept of terror as a way to influence minds and gain votes. The defeat of the terrorist Islamic State was a big issue in the 2016 election. Immigration reform has also been tied to keeping terrorists from our shores. Dr. Kramer said, "That's why politicians use the word, but academics try not to. They're trying to win supporters and make sides. Academics are trying to analyze things. That's the difference." Today's episode was written by John Donovan and produced by Tristan McNeil and Tyler Klang. For more on this and lots of other political topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brainstuff is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.